Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Tropcast. I'm Thomas Gleaton, your host and producer, and with me as always is Grishma Ramal.
Hello.
And Kiana Collins.
What's up? Hi.
There you go.
Sorry.
We're in a good mood today.
I'm so hyper today, man.
We're not going to do that.
Speaking of good moods, yeah. Do you know that lady who jumped through the fences?
Yeah. That's why I'm not doing it.
I can't do it today.
Okay. So, yeah, a lady drove through the tennis courts last weekend through the nets.
It was 4 a.m. and she apparently didn't see the stop sign. The good thing is she reported it herself.
Good Samaritan award.
Yeah. But yeah, that was quite the story because we were very confused. I was honestly hoping for a drunk student driver story there, but
hey,
yeah,
man.
I mean, I had to settle for an out-of-town woman that didn't know where she was going.
I still can't get over the fact that she saw a giant tennis court in front of her and was like, you know what? I'm going to drive right through it.
Like, I've driven by there, and the court is across the road from, you know where the point is?
Yeah.
That school? There is a very obvious stop sign there.
Yeah.
I mean, like we said, it was 4 a.m.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was kind of dark, but in the same token, it was like the there's the road, and then, like, the tennis court is across a stretch of grass.
Yeah.
Like,
you really have to, like, miss it a lot.
It would have to be, like, it would seriously have to be really foggy for you to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
It happened, and nobody got hurt, and that's what matters.
Yep, everything's okay.
Hey, it's a reason for them to fix it, you know.
Right.
Get new stuff on the court. I don't know how they do it, but...
Hey, man. They'll figure it out.
Tennis team's still going along strong.
Mm-hmm.
Pulitzer Prize winner on campus. That was the front page this week, also, I think.
Yes, it was. Hank Kilbanoff, who is a Pulitzer Prize winner, who won the Pulitzer for his 2007 book called The Race Beat, which basically analyzes the civil rights movement in terms of how the media, especially the Northern Press, how they helped bring it to national recognition. So he co-wrote it with Gene Roberts, and he's going to be on campus today on Thursday as part of the annual journalism symposium.
Oh, cool.
Neato.
Are we going to have anybody there? Or is it like...
Oh, yeah, it's going to be covered, and pretty much the entire G School is going to be there.
Okay.
Because we don't have classes that day.
Yep.
Everyone's supposed to be there. All journalism classes are canceled for the day so that everyone can go and attend these symposiums. And I've been to a few in the past years, and it's very interesting. The speakers usually have a lot to share. And especially, I know that he's going to be talking a lot about how the media's role has changed over the years in terms of how it covers race relations. And it was in another interview with the Troy Public Radio that he said that in the past there were a lot of journalists covering race issues compared to now, where there's comparatively very few people covering the same issues. So he has a lot of insight to provide.
Mm-hmm.
So when was the last time we had a Pulitzer Prize winner on campus, or do we know? Okay, that's fine. We don't know.
I think there was one 2 years ago, but, like, I couldn't tell you.
Right. Like,
it's still a big deal, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is.
And, You're good.
And he actually runs this Civil Rights Cold Case Projects, which basically evaluates unsolved hate crimes from the past. So he's basically, it's a department at Emory, I think, and they basically look into unsolved racially motivated murders.
That's
cool. I think that's pretty cool.
It really is.
So that would be something interesting to talk about, especially, you know, here in Alabama.
Yeah, and yeah.
I
really have nothing to say on that.
I know, there's like nothing to comment on.
Well, okay, I might have something.
Go for it.
It's really interesting, and it's really cool that he's using his, you know, position to, you know, speak out about race relations because, you know, I mean, he's obviously a white dude. But, and, you know, he's using his position, like, to, you know, bring light to everything. And I think that's really cool of him. And, you know, I mean, it's not easy to do. So, I know that this is required reading in one of our professor's classes. Professor Stewart, shout out. What's up? How's it going? But it's really cool. I'm excited to go see it, even though it might be a little early in the morning.
And it's not just for journalism students.
Right.
Like, he's also going to be talking about how to separate facts from fiction. So mm-hmm. you might not be a journalism student, but you know, you're still going to receive some sort of news, but there's so much bogus news out there.
Right. You can learn how to interpret the news
right.
and learn yeah. how to, you know, analyze
the
news.
That's one of the things he's going to talk about. So it's pretty much open to everyone and everyone should go to it.
Yay.
Oh, speaking of like interpreting news, quick story. If y'all heard about the Marco Rubio repeating himself thing?
Yes.
Apparently he did it again.
Oh what? My god. After
yeah,
all
and
that
I was reading the article online and I clicked on the video and it was real and I was like, "Wait a minute, The Onion's doing real reporting?" I look, it was the New York Times.
Ooh.
I was like, "Oh. Right. Well, so." Yeah.
Nice.
If you have any false assumption about Obama? Oh my god. Oh, also, did you guys see the whole thing about where Ben Carson didn't go out when he was called on
oh
stage?
Oh my gosh, that was so
funny. And then everyone
funny.
Just walked past him, and then Donald Trump kind of stood by as well.
Yeah.
And then they forgot the Ohio governor.
John Kasich.
Yes, yeah. They didn't even call him out, and they were like, oh, of course. Rubio had to be like, should I call him out? And they were like, no, we're calling him out.
Oh, that's so funny.
Really sad.
That's I remember funny. Hearing, actually, the only reason I know about that was John Legend was like, what's going on? What is Ben Carson doing on his Twitter account? It was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
So that was a mess. I feel like that, I can't take that mess seriously, though. Like, yeah. I feel like somebody had to have orchestrated that, because there's no way that Ben Carson didn't hear his name, unless he was just, like, literally
gone. I mean, even if he... How could he not hear his name?
And right, like, and then see everybody walking yeah. past him and be like,
There's an order, just, you know,
go
walk
for it.
Out,
yeah,
like,
just, you know, do what you want.
I
can't do this.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's a character.
Yeah.
Like last week after the caucuses, he went back to get a change of clothes. Did
yeah.
you guys hear?
Yeah. Then he left Iowa to go get a change of clothes.
Yeah.
Just left the caucuses.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
Oh. It's still going on. Like, people are still voting.
Oh.
Like, oh, let me go get a new suit in case,
hey,
I don't
man.
Know, all right?
He does brain surgery. Like, brilliant. Brain surgery.
There's something, I think it was Colbert who did it. Like, does yeah. he do that during surgery? He, you know, he's in the middle of an operation, and he goes like, ooh, there's blood everywhere. I'm going to go get a change of clothes.
There's actually a documentary about Ben Carson, and I watched it with my parents, and it's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
But it gave me a different perspective on the man.
Hmm.
But it's pretty
interesting.
Good. I can't remember the name of it. It's probably Dr. Ben Carson, something like that. But it was pretty good.
Probably.
Okay, let's move on before we get started.
Yeah. You want to touch on the stipend thing real quick?
Boo. Okay.
Real quick?
Yeah, really fast. Okay, so everybody probably knows by now that athletes are getting stipends for being athletes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's like in this article that we had in the opinion section this past week, apparently there a student said that they were getting $2,000 a year from this stipend. And I was looking at the other article, the one that we wrote about it initially, and it was like they didn't use any of the any extra budgeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't get any
the
more money.
$600,000 that's
right.
going to be the athletic stipend within the athletic budget. So apparently the coaches had to compromise on some stuff.
Apparently that's what I was reading about that. Like they had to like, you know, take some stuff away from the coaches and like, you know, which
yeah.
is fine. I mean, whatever.
I just feel like they didn't plan this very well. And I feel like there are too many questions that are still left.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm, like yeah. for example, like just, I mean, we've had this problem all the time that we don't really get a response from the athletic department.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And it's not just like not getting timely response, it's like getting no response whatsoever.
Right.
So like from what we've understood talking to a few players who would talk to us is that if you're on an academic scholarship, you don't get any stipend, which just makes me wonder.
Huh.
So if I'm an athlete who's on academic scholarship, what is my incentive to play if I'm not getting
right.
any stipend
mm-hmm.
when I'm putting like just about the same amount of work as someone
right.
else is?
Right.
But I mean, maybe they are getting some stipends. We don't know. Like,
we're not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like that's not necessarily like, for one, Matt did as much research as he could. He mm-hmm. did contact these people. But I also feel like that's not necessarily the fact that they didn't respond. I feel like that there's some of the planning involved
yeah.
with this didn't like allow mm-hmm. for these kind of questions.
Also, it's not like it's uniform throughout
right.
the athletic, throughout the teams. It depends on the team you're playing in. Like
okay.
the volleyball team, all the girls are getting equal amount
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, there's no... Like discussion about why someone else is getting more than so everyone's
right.
getting the same amount of $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go to the track team, it depends on how you perform, apparently, or
that's interesting.
Yeah,
because although it's not a team sport per se, it's individual competition.
Right, right.
So
and that would be sort of like tennis as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
then
okay.
golf is something like that as well, because people have partial scholarships right. and full scholarships, so it just depends on that. So a lot of details to really, you know, there's a lot of gaps.
Yeah, and that's my only issue with it. Because otherwise, like, as a college sports fan, especially football, I like this idea because it compromises a bit. They get a stipend. Like, on the one hand, you've got college players who are getting a free ride, free education, free books, etc. But on the other hand, they're still putting their careers on the line for this university. The university makes more money off of them than they really do anything else. Mm-hmm. So they should be compensated for that. Right. So I think the stipend is actually a good solution between the middle. And I think that it's a good thing that Troy is coming out with this, but I think that it needs to be worked out more. I think they should have worked out the kinks before being like, mm-hmm. hey, everybody, we're going to do this.
Right. So. Yeah, and I agree with you, Thomas. I think it's a good thing because, you know, they can't get jobs. Like, I've
right.
never heard of a, like,
right.
unless they're in the off season, they can't
yeah.
work. I don't even know how that works. I'm not 100% sure, but I've heard from several students, like, just can't work. And, like, my thing, though, with it is there are students in other departments that can't work outside of
yeah.
their, like, you know, so they can't make money to live, so
yeah,
right.
And that was the other thing.
Anyone who's in the band, like, their life is the band, they cannot do anything.
Yeah, and I mean, it's I'm sure it's like a great experience for them, but, like, you know, for certain people who can't be supported by right, they gotta eat and they can't be supported by their parents, they're just doing band, and,
right.
and you know, and like I said, band's a great thing, you know, band's great for people. But they just can't, if they can't support themselves, then, you know, I feel like something needs to happen where they can support themselves. Like,
right.
the athletes need to support themselves as well.
Right.
Because the athletics, I mean, I feel like, you know, athletes have their coaches and everything behind them, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, there's a ton of athletes, but there's, like, a ton more band people. So, like, it's kind of hard to, like, individually accommodate for every single band person. So, I feel like something needs to happen where people need to get more aid for the situation.
Yeah, and to that end, you're right. Band people should get more. But band people also don't have the NCAA acting on their behalf. So
right.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on.
Yeah.
Last thing, that leadership conference that was this weekend. Tell us about it, Grishma.
It was quite an interesting conference. I was there for the opening and the closing ceremony. And I was also there for one of the sessions. And Miss Juanita Jones Abernathy, who's the wife of Ralph David Abernathy, she was the keynote speaker at the opening ceremony. And it was just very interesting to hear things from someone who was there during the civil rights movement.
Right.
Like, Martin Luther King died in her husband's arm, and the way she talked about it, it was just very moving because you don't really hear about it. How after that happened, her husband got a lot of grief about not doing enough, or there were rumors about how there was jealousy between the two men, and, you know, she talked about there was no such thing. They were all about the movement. They were all about the cause. One of my favorite lines was, like, I was there when Rosa sat down. Like, that was, like,
yes.
such a fun thing. And, you know, she talked about, gave, I guess, more insight on the whole movement in general.
Uh-huh.
And she talked about how the youth of today don't do enough for the things that they fought about. For example, this march, the Selma March, the right to vote. People don't vote these days.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, the underlying message of her speech, is that how we do not appreciate the things that people sacrificed in the past, and we do not vote. And it was the same thing that Jasmine Guy, who was the keynote speaker at the closing ceremony, she talked about that as well, how we do not exercise our right to vote. And I also went to a session with Subel Cobb, who's the first female woman Chief Justice of
Alabama. Yeah.
And really impressive lady. I was really impressed by her. I loved listening to her. And she also talked about how we do not participate enough, how we do not voice our concerns enough, and how we honestly don't understand what affects us. Like, people talk
yeah.
about how they hate Obamacare, how they don't like his policies, but they don't really know how it's really affecting them. So, you know, she encouraged everyone to call the governor's office to about expanding Medicaid and how that's going to directly hamper the lower income minorities in Alabama. So, very interesting woman. And, yeah, everything was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And I think the messages that they gave out was basically, as college students, as the future of the country or whatever, we need to be more politically active. We need to give a...
Follow us on all the social medias, at Tropolitan, at Tropolitan. We will get that commentary, and you'll get all the updated news. And Kiana's on Twitter now. So.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter now, so I don't want to spell the whole thing
out.
Don't
worry about it.
Yeah. You'll see me.
Yeah. Go ahead, Grishma.
If you have something to say, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
we love comments.
If you want to come and talk on the show, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
We love guests.
Because, I mean, we're both leaving. All of us are leaving, actually.
Yeah.
So we might need some people.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you want to be a part of the Tropcast, come to the Trop meeting on Thursday at 6.
I mean, at 5:30.
I'll be there till 6.
Thomas will be there until 6.
Yeah.
So be there at 5:30 anyways.
Yeah. Be there waiting for you.
I'll have handouts and everything.
Oh, don't do that.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
All right, everybody.
Bye.
Say bye, Grishma.
Ta-ta.
See y'all. The Tropcast was recorded in front of a non-existent studio audience in Studio C, Wallace Hall, Troy University. The Tropcast is a part of the Tropolitan Media Group.